This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The history of West Michigan's Hispanic community is deeply rooted in agriculture. Migrant, immigrant, and seasonal workers have been the backbone of the agriculture industry there for decades, harvesting crops from sugar beets to peaches, cherries, and apples. Now it's estimated in the next 10 or 15 years, West Michigan may well have the largest concentration of Latinos in the state. Let's learn more about the history and future for Latinos in West Michigan. Ruben Martinez is with us again. Ruben is the director of the Julian Zamora Research Institute at Michigan State University.
Thank you. Good to be on.
We know West Michigan has a sizable Hispanic migrant community because of the agriculture industry. When did this population really begin to take off?
It really began to take off in the 1930s. You know, farmers in West Michigan had been using migrant and seasonal workers for some decades before that, but Latinos did not come in any sizable numbers till about the 1930s and then began to settle out. That means settling out of the migrant stream, probably in good numbers in the 40s.
And were we seeing whole families coming, Ruben?
Yes, Michigan was historically a family-friendly state, meaning that the farmers were set up to host families, and that has continued, I think, basically up until a couple of decades ago.
And where did this first influx of migrants come from when they started arriving in force in the 1930s?
I think we had a combination of Mexican Americans from South Texas and Mexican immigrants from Mexico. We had just finished the Mexican Civil War, which, as we all know very well today, displaces people. So we had a good number of refugees from Mexico during the Mexican Revolution coming into South Texas. And then we also had native-born South Texans coming up here. And the sending area, at least for the native-born, one should know, is that South Texas has historically been a very, very poor region for a long time.
And then we see more workers coming from Florida. We also see a rise of single men coming to work in the fields in the 1990s. And I also want you to talk about the H-2A visa for temporary agricultural workers. What effect has that had on this population and West Michigan as a whole?
Well, you know, we started a guest worker program with Mexico during World War II because of the labor shortages. And that ended in 1964. But we also maintained guest worker programs over time that just hadn't been given the kind of attention that they're getting today. But for Michigan, H-2A workers had not been very prevalent. I mean, the program wasn't used very much because there was a steady stream of workers who had intergenerational ties to the region and coming up here. But I think with the anti-immigrant fervor that has taken hold over the last decade, made it difficult for some of them to travel and so forth. So that led to some labor shortages and I think causing some of the employers, the agricultural employers, to see if they could find other means by which they could meet their labor demands.
I'm wondering, kind of looking and taking us up to where we are today, how has that migrant community changed over time in West Michigan? So here we are at 2015. How have we seen it progress?
Some shifts have taken place. One, it is considerably smaller than it used to be. I believe back in the 1950s, we used to have as many as 300,000 migrant workers coming to Michigan. I mean, you had the beet crop, the sugar beets, as a major crop here in the state that has declined. There's been mechanization over the years, which has reduced the need for workers. And so now basically we get them in the fruits and vegetable areas, asparagus, blueberries, peaches, apples, and so forth. And, you know, there's even some efforts to try to mechanize the harvest of apples and so on. So that's been one of the things that changed. I mentioned already the shift to include more people coming up from Florida and the shift from families to more single males and also to increasingly now in more recent years to H-2A workers.
I think a lot of people are going to be surprised to learn that there is such a sizable Latino community in West Michigan. I know when I saw the statistic from Holland that 23% of Holland's population is Hispanic.
Well, you know, the great growth occurred across the country in terms of the Latino population between 1990 and 2000, between those two census years. And typically, I think the average growth across the country was about 57%. We saw similar rates of growth here in the population there in Grand Rapids and so on. But the highest concentration in West Michigan really is in the Grand Rapids area. And if you take the metro area, you find, you know, approximately 90,000 Latinos living in the Grand Rapids metro area. And I would venture to say that in the next decade, it could conceivably become the largest concentration of Latinos in the state.
Ruben Martinez is the director of the Julian Zamora Research Institute at Michigan State University. Thank you so much for talking with us. Always great to have you on Stateside, Ruben.
Thank you very much.
When most of us think of Holland, the West Michigan community's Dutch heritage comes to mind. But as you just heard, there is a sizable Hispanic community in Holland. And to mark Hispanic Heritage Month, the city's collecting the oral histories of Holland's Hispanic Americans. Esther Fafelski is with us now. She's the Human International Relations Manager for the City of Holland. Welcome, Esther.
Thank you, Cynthia. Pleasure to be speaking with you.
And Sister Noella Poinsett is with the Outreach and Social Justice Program at St. Francis de Sales Catholic Church in Holland. Sister Noella, good to have you with us today.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Esther, what do you say to the rest of Michigan who learn that nearly a quarter of your city's population is Hispanic and say, wait, what? We had no idea.
I would just like to say that it is a hidden history. A lot of people don't know that there's a large Hispanic community. And the Hispanic community is due a lot to the migrant work that we used to have here in previous years. And a lot of those migrant workers have stayed and made a life here in Holland.
And this oral history project is called Nuestra Comunidad Hispania, Our Hispanic Community. Tell us exactly what's happening.
Well, what we're doing is we're reaching out to the community to invite members of the Hispanic community to share their stories as part of National Hispanic Heritage Month. And we're hoping to gather the stories, put together a profile, and then celebrate them at our LAHUP dinner in November.
And LAHUP stands for Latin Americans United for Progress, a group you're working with. And Sister Noella, there are a lot of groups taking part in this project, and one of them being your parish, St. Francis de Sales. Tell us a little more about the people that you meet through your work in outreach and social justice.
Well, the parish is 55% to 60% Hispanic, and social justice has always been my passion in working with diverse populations. So just great to be part of this Nuestra Comunidad Hispana.
Esther, what do you feel are some of the biggest challenges the community faces in Holland?
Education continues to be one of those focal points where we need to continue to develop our young students. The economy and jobs. With limited incomes, then you have the problem of affordable housing, living wages. And I think healthcare is also an issue for the Hispanic community. And at the very core of it is, how can we change things? And I would just have to say that voter participation is another thing, another area where we need to work on drawing more people of color to our city hall, to our local governments. I think that really would help the situation in any cultural community.
Sister, what kinds of stories do you expect the project will collect?
Well, I think, like with the first seven people that we did the stories, we got them through St. Francis de Sales Parish. And one of the good things with that group is that we've got diversity in class and countries where they're from. So from Mexico, of course, and from Nicaragua, Colombia, I think somebody was represented. So in this way, we'll have a variety of stories, some veterans, some who've been migrant workers or the parents have been migrant workers, and the struggle and the sacrifice that the parents made in bringing their families here as migrants, but believing in education, and so making that possible for their children and grandchildren.
Esther Fafelski is the Human International Relations Manager for the City of Holland, and Sister Noella Poinsett is with Outreach and Social Justice at St. Francis de Sales Catholic Church in Holland. And you can find out more about Nuestra Comunidad Hispania at the City of Holland website is a good place to start as they collect those oral histories through National Hispanic Heritage Month. Very good to talk with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.